Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Well, listen, so we're going to give, this is going to be our final installment of our sermon series we've called Foolproof, and we've been kind of going through the book of Proverbs together. And it really, I don't know about you, but it's been a blast for me, you know, some of the things, and I want to walk wisely, you know, in the life that God's given me. And so I hope you do as well. And so I think I want to start this morning by saying this, and I think I want to speak to the dudes, the men here. Ladies, you're allowed to listen in, but I just kind of know this as a guy. Well, I'll say this. So men, have you ever like over-romanticized something in your head? Like in otherwise, you planned something out, it was way cooler in your head than it actually happened. And notice I won't ask you ladies because I already know you absolutely have over-romanticized stuff in your head. And as men, we've failed you time and time again, but give us grace. And so I can remember that happens to me often. I can remember, you know, I've shared this story before, but I just thought this one year, I'm like, I'm going to really get after it for Valentine's Day. And so I planned and schemed and Googled and trying to do all this. And so I arranged, my wife Susan works down in Times Square, right where the ball drops. So right in the heart of Times Square, she works at the corporate office for Ann Taylor Loft. So if any of you guys want anything like that, come see her. I called her boss and I'm like, listen, you got to let me go down there early. I'm going to surprise her. So she's about it. And all the rest of the staff are like, oh, it's going to be so cute, you know, and do that. And so I went into Manhattan and, you know, you had the flowers and all that kind of stuff. And I was just waiting. I was going to kick open the doors of the loft store and she's going to run into my arms. And so sure enough, I mean, I'm there and I see her across the store, kick the doors open like that. I'm like, sweetheart, hey. And then she's just like, you're going to have to give me 15 minutes. I'm restocking this stuff, right? And so I remember I'm just standing there like with flowers, big L on my forehead the whole time. And then I decided, well, we're going to go to see a Broadway play because it's sophisticated. It's what you do. But I didn't realize because I bought tickets to The Lion King. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's literally booster chairs so your kids can there. And so I'm trying to have this sophisticated night out with my girl, and little Johnny's there. He's got his Pumbaa stuffed animal, Simba, right? And so they're super excited, and I'm like, oh, so I just swing and a miss. And then last year was my wife's birthday, so last October, this too was several months out, and I'm like, I'm going to do it upright. I'm going to take my girl to Paris. And so I'm not the surprise guy. I'm not really good at that stuff. So I'm super nervous. And so I get everything done on Travelocity. And as God is my witness, I sat for an hour before I had set send. I'm like, I don't know. And finally, boom, I send it off. And suddenly my wife, who is on business in San Diego, she gets an alert from Amex that says that, hey, someone just purchased a trip to Paris on your Amex card. So she calls me right away and I'm not a very good liar, which is probably good because I'm a pastor, and I'm like, we were hacked, baby. I'm going to call Amex right now. And she bought it, so that was cool, and we had a good time. But once again, I just thought, man, like, she was going to, when I surprised her on that day, and we're taking the car to JFK, I'm just thinking, like, she's going to be all up on me. I'm like, baby, come on, that stuff's got to wait till later, you know, and all that. I'm just thinking that. But it played out much differently because we were doing some construction in our home, and let's just say there was a great deal of stress in there. And so actually the Uber that we took from New Jersey to JFK, we weren't fighting, but we also weren't speaking to each other. And so we were like on either side of the cab on our device, you know, doing that thing. And so we always rejoice and thanks God for Shake Shack. Have you ever had Shake Shack before? Oh my Jesus. So it healed all the wounds, and we had a Shake Shack at JFK, and we were off and running. But I mention that to say this is, so a lot of times as Jesus followers and people that are familiar with the Word of God, we can tend to over-romanticize the Word of God. And so if you understand God's plan to redeem and rescue mankind, it's something like this, that God is going to send His one and only Son to become a man to die in our behalf. And He was going to take 12 men, pour His life into them, and they were going to absolutely push back all that was dark. A very romantic idea. But when you start to dig into the lives of the disciples, it really plays out a lot different. And so you really need to read like with fresh eyes. And so the 12 disciples, so there's 12 men, and I don't know if you realize this, but you know that there was two Simons, two Judases, and then you had two James. How many know that's going to get a little confusing? Hey, Judas, no, not this one, not this one. And in fact, they had James. What they did is they called, you know, there's James and John. And then the other James, they just called him James the Lesser. Thank you. You know, thanks, Jesus. And so you can imagine that would be a little bit of stress. You had Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother. Andrew, the name Andrew means manly. So I'm guessing he's kind of a manly dude, you know, kind of chest hair coming out, and he's that guy. But then can you imagine that coupled with James and John, whose mother followed them around when they went? Do you guys know? They're kind of mama's boys. How many know that's going to go bad? That there was Simon, who was called the Zealot. And Zealots were, they wanted to militarily overthrow and overtake Rome. And then you had Matthew, the former tax collector, who sold out to Rome. How many know those two guys in a room, that's gonna be a fight. That's a powder keg ready to explode. And if you know the life of Peter at all, how many know he would have got on everybody's nerves, right? When Peter's like, if that's you, bid me come on the water. How many know that there's gonna be a lot of eye rolls? Oh geez, here we go again, right? You know, and so then if you're familiar, there was this continual argument the disciples had amongst themselves. Do you remember what it was? Which one is the greatest? Okay, so you can see it was a bit of a train wreck, but here's something that's so amazing, that after 3 years with Jesus Christ, the 12 disciples, they were just known as the 12. And actually what the world said about these men, these are the men that are absolutely turning the world upside down. And so I want to talk with us and really build on what Pastor Shino was talking about last week, is this idea of doing life with one another. And if we're gonna do all God's called us to do, we desperately need one another. And so in the book of Proverbs, it has much to say about relationships. Like, it's all in there. But if I could boil it all down, it basically says this, that the people that you hook your life up to, that you attach your life to, they're going to determine the type of person you become and are becoming and the impact you have. And so relationships are unbelievably important. And so here's something I know from, you know, just studying the scriptures is that you and I, we're inescapably relational. Like we can't get away from it. The scripture says this in Genesis chapter 1, that you and I, we've been created in the image of God. And if you're familiar with your theology, you'll know that we believe that God is Trinity. He's Father, Son, and Spirit. In other words, at the center of the universe, there's a community, there's a unity, there's a relationship. And so for us, it's in our very DNA that we're hardwired that we would be relational because we've been created in the image of God. And then you'll know this, like, do you guys remember in Genesis 1 when God's just blowing stuff up, like, light be, bam, and light is still going forward, and he creates the earth and the animals, and every time he's like, oh, this is good, this is good, this is good, until he creates a singular man, and he says, you know what, this is not good for the man to be alone. And so that's kind of the idea that not just the scriptures will say, but do you know that even science is catching up to the Word of God? How about this? This is amazing. So Harvard did a study on 7,000 subjects. And here's what they did is they began to track them. And here's what they found. They found that you're three times more likely to die sooner if you're isolated and have no real relationships as opposed to those that are anchored with good, solid relationships. Three times more likely to die sooner. They also gave people the common cold virus. And they found that those anchored with solid relationships were able to fight off sickness and disease. And so here's what's so crazy. So science is basically saying this. It's better for you to eat Twinkies with a friend than it is to eat spinach by yourself. All right? That's what it's saying, and that's just the truth. The United States Air Force, they have a survival school. And they make each cadet learn two numbers. And here's what they are. 98.6. because that's our body's core temperature. And then the next number is the number 3. And here's what they say. They said that you can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, and 3 months without companionship, without relationship. And so even our armed forces know how important relationship is. In fact, our judicial system, we don't know what to do with solitary confinement, because they find when they put people in solitary for too long, it does irreparable damage to people. Like psychological, they can never recover from it. And so it's not good for us to be alone. I heard one author say it like this, that just like food nourishes our body, so relationships, they nourish our soul. And so I found that to be true in my own life. And listen, some of you might have to put your device down right now because I'm gonna, how many know technology has made us more connected than ever before? And guess what? All the stats say the same thing. We've never been more lonely. Isn't that crazy? It's like, so for somewhere along the line, we've mistaken being connected with being in relationship. And those are not synonymous, that they're very different things. And so they did another study. Any Facebook folks in here? How many know? If you ever see me on there, I'm a poser, all right? I like never do it. Occasionally, I'll see my wife do it. I'm like, oh, wow. And so I can kind of get in on that. But Facebook, they said this. If you leverage Facebook for face-to-face relationships, in other words, you're using it so you might be able to have a face-to-face with somebody, they said that happiness goes through the roof. All the studies have shown that. But when you use it as a substitute for face-to-face, loneliness, it spirals downward, all right? And so that's some of the stuff. This one will blow your mind. So for the younger generation, I don't know what that is anymore. My scale is moving more and more what I consider young. But for the younger generation, they said they were much more likely to hook up than to go on a first date, because a first date was far too intimate. To have a face, does that blow your mind that's kind of what's out there? Because the devices is kind of not giving us an ability to connect with one another anymore. They did another study in 1985. They did a study about relationships. And do you know that? They, on average, we each had three confidants in 1985. So three people I could just be brutally honest, share my heart, share my soul. In 2004, on average, we had zero, none. And so you see, the reason why this is so alarming is you can only be loved to the degree you're known. And so what we've done is we realize the more we're not able to be real with people, then we know that we're not able to be loved by people. And I think that's what's causing a lot of this loneliness and this feeling of depression that we had. And so do you agree with me? What the Bible says, it's not good for us to be alone. Right? And so just like relationships are important for our soul, that we long for it, something else that relationships do, they're a powerful tool in the hand of God. Like it will relationships God will use to chisel you and conform you and fashion you into the image of his son Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I think we have this, Izzy. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, it says this. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, and get this, and also for the life to come. Well, see, what the Bible just said there is you and I, that right now we're in training for eternity. Like, you are becoming the person that you're going to be throughout eternity. And God's will is that you would be conformed to be like his son, Jesus Christ. So this is going to be great here. So if you're under 30 years old this morning, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about. If you're over 30, you'll feel me on this. How many of my brethren over 30 that like in your head, you still feel like I'm 48? And in my head, I'm still 30, right? And then I don't realize, I'm shocked when people look at me like I'm an old man and that kind of stuff. And so anyone else, am I alone on that? Like, don't you feel? Here's the reason why, is because your spirit, your soul is eternal. It's not subject to time. You are who you are. You're not an age. And so this is why it's so important. And the Apostle Paul and the Lord through the Apostle Paul saying, hey, we got to be in training to be godlike. And the way we do that is we do it in our relationships with one another. And so I need to get something straight right out of the gate. At the center of our faith is the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's bloodied And it's brutal because he had to pay the price for our sins. And so, but here's why that's such good news for us, is that none of us need to pretend. Like, we don't have to pretend like we have it all together, because the cross revealed, no, you don't. That all of us, until Christ returns, we are in training to be godly because we're all a little bit messed up. I like to say this, we're all fixer-uppers in this place, so we don't have to pretend. So I told you the story before, but it's worth repeating. So I told you about the dude. I was running next to this guy at the treadmill, and he was running. I could tell he hadn't really exercised too much before, and so he's having at it, and he's trying to watch the TV, and he's losing his balance every now and then. And then one time, he just slipped off the track, but yet he had the presence of mind to grab the security rail. But the tread is ripping, like you can smell smoke, burning skin, because it's just burning him, and he wouldn't let go. And so then he switches hands at one point, like this, and I'm like, bro, just let go. And so finally he lets go, and it just spit him right out the back of the treadmill. And here's, in perfect guy form, he gets up like nothing happened and started running again like this. You know, and listen, we tend to do that. Listen, we're all, if you're not, listen, everybody in this room is struggling with something. And if you're not, then you're not training to be godly. There's a Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, she's gone home to be with the Lord. On her tombstone, it says this, construction complete. Thanks for your patience, right? So I think if Billy Graham's wife knows, hey man, I'm on this earth, God's molding me and shaping me. And so here's, if you're going to be a member of Every Nation New Jersey, you're going to have to remember this line. Here's what we say is, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to be okay with not being okay. Okay? Okay. Now repeat after me. No. Here's what we believe. And so we have this thing we call connect groups, because we really believe that transformation happens best in small groups. Connect groups is not a new idea. Do you know in the first century, the Jews had what was called the Havarim. And the Havarim was a group of the Jewish men. When they got out of work, they would sit together, they would encourage each other, and they'd open the Torah and begin to study together. So wouldn't that be crazy to be in Jesus's connect group, his Havarim, like he's in there with you? Because Jesus was probably in a Havarim. And then you have the early church. They had a foundations book. It was called the Didache. And in the Didache, what it says for the early Christian believers, it was vitally important that you would gather in small groups, that you would pray for one another, and you would practice spiritual gifts on each other. Isn't that cool? And so it's not a new idea. There's a book called The Power of Habit. And so in that book, they actually did a study, and they said this, that life transformation doesn't happen best by you just willing yourself through it or some crazy self-discipline. They said the most monumental transformation in people's life occurs when they see people doing what you want to do or becoming who you want to become, and you just get in their world. You get in their orbit, and when you do, you just start to change, don't you? I mean, you think about it. I am by nature very critical. Like, I got a critical eye. It helps me in some things and is horrible in other things. So if I get other critical people in my life, it's a train wreck. I just start to go down and, life stinks and all this kind of, it's not healthy. So I need to attach people with the word of faith. Like, Pastor Dottie and Pastor Shino are the most sickeningly positive people you've ever met in your life. And I'm like, is that for real? Yeah, it's for real. So we begin to see that. And so you got to be careful who you attach your life to. Proverbs 13:20, it says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. In other words, who you hook your life up to, that's what you're going to become like. And so I want to hang around wise people. I want to hang around godly people that I'll be provoked to be increasingly more godly. And here will be the last thing. I'm sorry, I'm throwing so many stats at you. I was really excited. I'm like, I did my homework this week, all right? Daniel's such an educated man. He's like, very good, Pastor, right? I know. But you know that psychologists, they say this, they have, it's called the looking glass self. And what they found is that you will take on the identity of the top three relationships in your life. And so in other words, you will see yourself through the lens of the three most important people you've put in your orbit and in your world. Isn't that unbelievable? Like, that's how powerful relationships are in your life. And so I'm not saying you got to get rid of your moron friends, you know, but what I am saying, you better be deliberate on getting godly people in your orbit if we're going to train ourselves to be like Jesus Christ. And so let me share with you guys. I got to dumb it down a little bit. All right. Too many studies and all that. So there's a guy, Frank Shamrock. He was a UFC fighter, and Frank Shamrock, he was a 4-time UFC champion. But here's how he trained. He said he would always have three relationships in his life. And so it says he would have a plus, that's someone to teach him, so someone to learn from. He would have an equal, someone to challenge him. And then he would have what he called a minus, someone that he was teaching. And he says in that, it gave him this full diverse scope of making him sharp in all these different areas in his life. And if you're familiar with your Bible at all, that the Bible speaks of this three-pronged relationships that we should have at all times in our life, that we all should have a Paul, a guy like the apostle, a mentor, someone who's discipling us and speaking into our life, that we all should have guys that are people that are equals, that we're peers, we're challenging and provoking one another, and then we all should have a Timothy or someone younger than us in the Lord that we're training up. And so let me show you why this is so vital. Proverbs 27:17. If you're a dude, you know this one. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, but the reality is, you know when iron sharpening iron? I mean, there's sparks, there's violent crashing, and that stuff's going on, but it'll help to change you and transform you. And so as we talk about, like, having spiritual mentors in your life, this is huge. Let me give you some famous people. How many have heard of Albert Einstein, right? Probably one of the most brilliant minds we've ever known. Nobel Peace Prize winner, all these different things. And yet, for as brilliant as he was a horrible, horrible husband. And he was an even worse father. Do you know that his children, he was removed from, he made his wife sign a contract saying that you will not disturb me, you will only come when you're summoned, you will have sex with me when I tell you to have sex with me, it made her sign a contract. One of his sons was suicidal and was instituted. His dad never visited him in the hospital. And so you see stuff and I'm like, success, huh? I don't know, you know? There's another guy, Ted Williams, we heard of him. Probably the most prolific hitter, you know, in the sport of baseball, and unbelievable. He was obsessed with baseball and passionate about it, but in the same way, as passionate as he was about baseball, he was that indifferent about his wife and about his kids. I'll put it in our time. So there's a guy, A.W. Tozer. He's a prolific writer, brilliant pastor, man of prayer, horrible husband. And so I just put all these people before you because I was like, I don't want to be that guy. I'm like many of you, I'm a type A, I'm driven. So when I was playing hockey, listen, I want to be the best I could be, and I'm going to work at it, and I didn't have much to work with here, so I'd wrung the most out of my talent. And then I became a pastor, and I was kind of late in the game. I'm 33, just starting out. I'm like, man, I'm going to learn everything I can learn, and I'm obsessed, and I was traveling and all that stuff. Well, I'm so thankful that I had a couple guys, hey, shut me down a few times. Say, you're not traveling. You're going to spend time with your family. In fact, the daughters were sharing with me the other day. They're like, man, you were gone a lot when we were in Austin, Texas. I wasn't even playing hockey then. And I'm like, I don't get a do-over for that. And so we need mentors to speak truth into our life when we're kind of blind to it. Here's another one that we need people that are challenge us. And so I should just embarrass somebody right now. Like, it's small. Like I just hope, I won't embarrass you, but I'm hoping that Ernie or Justin or Bob or Eddie, like, you guys would know if I asked you the Trinity of guy movies, that you would score that right on a test. All right? So we know it's Gladiator, 300, and Braveheart. Okay, so that you guys better get that down right. And so I'm talking with Pastor Shino, and I'm like, hey, man, what's your favorite movie? And he says, Seabiscuit. Like, bro, Why would you admit to that, man? You know? And I'm like, oh, man. But if you know the story, it's pretty incredible. And so the story goes, back in that day, War Admiral was the premier thoroughbred, Triple Crown winner, and he was about to race the up-and-comer Seabiscuit. But Seabiscuit's trainer got injured, and so someone else was going to have to ride Seabiscuit. And so the Seabiscuit's jockey was going to train this young person up and tell them how the race is going to go. And here's what he says. He goes, out of the gates, Seabiscuit lights to go. And so he's going to get out of the gates really fast. And he'll be ahead of War Admiral, but War Admiral always likes to finish strong. He kicks it hard in the end. So he says, here's what I want you to do. He goes, towards the end of the race, down the last stretch, I want you to pull Seabiscuit back a little bit. And he's like, why would I do that? He goes, I want you to let War Admiral catch up to him. He says, because when Seabiscuit sees somebody else pushing him, says he goes to sights unknown. And the race played out just like that. War Admiral got right up to him, and as soon as Seabiscuit talked, he was like, see ya, boom, and just blew the doors off of War Admiral. And the reason why I reference that is I want to have spiritual thoroughbreds in my life, other men to challenge me, man, and push me so I don't get lazy or apathetic in my faith. And if you find you've kind of bored and hit a ceiling, man, maybe you got to start attaching your life to other men that they have more of a zeal for God than you do, and start, man, grab coffee with them or whatever. And then lastly, we need somebody to teach. And my wife will amen me on this one. So when we moved up from Austin, Texas, we were new to New York City. We moved to Manhattan, and I'm like, I'm not letting my kids go to school in Manhattan. I just had all the, you know, wasn't sure. And so we homeschooled. Biggest nightmare ever, right? Our girls manipulated us. They played us like a fiddle, you know, we just didn't. But here's the funny thing is, my wife and I learned way more than our kids, right? I can remember I'm teaching like basic math to my daughter, and I'm like, and it's talking about, doing something with a denominator. I'm like, what's a denominator? I can't remember what a denominator is. I gotta look it all up, and so I learned, and my wife and I, we started cracking up the other day. She was able to name all the continents. Had nothing to do with going to school. It had everything to do with teaching our daughters. And so you just learn more when you teach other people. And so if you can't take somebody through the foundations, the basics of our faith, then that's a problem. And so that's why we're constantly saying growth track. You need to get in there so you can get trained with the basics and then begin to teach other people. And so I'm going to land the plane with this. So why don't you, Kim, could you mind coming up? And Pastor Dottie, do you know who we have praying for us today? Ellen and Daniel. So Ellen and Daniel, if you guys wouldn't mind, too, we're going to have our prayer counselors that will be on either side of the stage. And I want to close with one last story. Izzy, I don't know if we have this text, but Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says this. It says that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is made for adversity. And so I want to share this last story. And there's an excellent book I recommend to you. It's called If You Want to Change the World, Make Your Bed. And it's written by this Navy SEAL and very simple read. But he tells the story of Hell Week. So for those of you that aren't familiar with Hell Week is when you're in training to become a SEAL, they put you through this Hell Week. And what it is it's you spend 6 days, they don't let you sleep at all for 6 days. And 24 hours a day, they keep them doing calisthenics. They put them into the Pacific Ocean and out again, in and out. So they're cold, wet, and exhausted. I had the privilege, I went to San Diego, I got to share my testimony with some other athletes to the SEALs, and I got to see day 3 of Hell Week. And it was the most disturbing thing I ever saw. These guys were just, and in fact, the lieutenant colonel, he kicked us out. He's like, you guys shouldn't see this. And so it was that traumatic. And so the book records, day 4, they go to what's called the Tijuana mud flaps. And here's what that is. They go to these mudslides, and it's in the middle of the night. The mud is ice cold, and they got to maneuver through it all. It's like trying to move in cement, and you can imagine exhaustion, and they're just continually shivering to death. And then their commanding officer will come over with a bullhorn, and he'll say, men, he says, I have a roaring fire about 100 yards away. He says, I have hot coffee and a warm blanket waiting for you. All you have to do is quit. And he said, and he records the story of one of the young cadets. He's just shivering, and he begins to make his way because he was going to quit. He was going to cash it in, until one of the team members, he starts singing this song. And it was a familiar song to the troop. And one by one, they all started raising their voice and singing. And it began to upset the commanding officer. He's like, stop singing, stop singing. And they sang even louder and louder. And this guy that was just about to cash it all in, it was like strength returned to him. And he came back to his men right in the middle, and he began singing together. And that's the picture of what we do as the body of Christ. That's why we want you to be involved in connect groups. We have Ed and Raquel Mendoza. Ed had a minor scare physically, and she was on the phone, and we were able to rally people to pray about them. And so this is real life. And so we love you, and we want to all do life together. And so let me pray over us. Father, we thank you this morning, God, that you said it's not good for us to be alone. And God, I pray for anyone, Lord, this morning that they feel orphaned. God, they feel like they have no place in the body of Christ. I'm asking this morning, God, that you would do a grafting in. Oh, Lord, God, you said you put the solitary and you place us into family. God, I pray for a spiritual family to be birthed here at Every Nation New Jersey. Lord, I pray that every one of us, God, we would look for go after the one sheep. And Lord, leave the 99 for the one and bring them back home again. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.